Wish I didn't spend
about to stop recording?
I don't know. It's shocking.
Is it about the ones on Kenton Street?
Yes.
Councillors. May we, the Council of the Town of Bassendean, being mindful of the Code of Conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously, and for the greater good of the town. Thank you. Welcome everyone to the February council meeting for the Town of Bassendean. Thanks to everyone who's joining us from the community here tonight. It's really important to us here for every time we meet to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, which are the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, and to recognise how well they've looked after this land for many, many years, and it's our privilege to continue working alongside them in caring for this beautiful piece of Australia. Before we move on to item two, which is the public question time, there's just been a couple of matters that have come up this week during the community, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity at the beginning of tonight's meeting to address them. So one of them is the works that have been going on down at the Ashfield Flats as part of the restoration works down there. And the second one is an issue around the Pickering Park boat ramp that has been temporarily closed. So, Mr. Stuart Dawkins, are you able to speak to both of those items just briefly for us before we commence the rest of the meeting?
Yes, certainly. In regards to the... Is that on?
In regards to the Pickering boat ramp, due to there's been some seasonally high tides and low tides, and as a result of that, the low tides have eroded underneath the existing boat ramp, and in effect, there's a very large drop-off for when boats are being lowered into the water, and it's causing some problems for boat owners. And it's also from that point of perspective, it's a safety issue as well. And so we have temporarily closed that boat ramp. Last week we sought some quotes from a contractor to go in there and undertake some remedial works to that ramp. And we are expecting the quotes to be returned to the town later this week. And so then we can look at undertaking some remedial work to that area.
So just to confirm that there's no substance to the rumour that we're closing it permanently, we are just temporarily closing it because of the safety issue, and we reopen as soon as we're able to get it repaired.
And in regards to the Ashfield Reserve, as Council would be aware, Ashfield Flats is owned by the West Australian Planning Commission and managed by the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage, and there was... some consultation undertaken last year. The town undertook the consultation on behalf of the department and provided that feedback to the department. And there was proposals to undertake a hydrological study of the site and to look at protection of the Bush Forever site, which is critical. There was aspects to do with fencing and subsequent to that, council received a report from the department and made some recommendations or requests to the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage. And they have subsequently received a letter from the town. But just this week, they have commenced some works down at Ashfield Flats, and that's the installation of a temporary fence. The department has indicated that the path which is there won't be obstructed. However, they are installing the fence to take advantage of funds that have been allocated to them by the state government. And they have a Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attractions permit, which outlines how the fencing is to be installed, what style of fencing has to be provided, as in the rail fencing and the mesh fencing that's been provided there. So I've had a conversation with the CEO today, and we're looking at trying to put something into the Council's Town of Bassendean's website and our Facebook page just to let people know what's happening down there.
Thank you. I guess as part of that communication with that department, it would be really good if we could reiterate that communication two ways is really important, because yes, it would have been ideal if they had let us know in advance that the works was happening. So maybe that's something that we can include in our subject in our communication.
Yes, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, so now we move on to item two on the agenda, which is public question time. So in a moment, I'll invite anyone who'd like to ask a question to come forward. But before we do, I just wanted to bring everyone's attention to the fact that our meetings are recorded and they're live streamed, so they're uploaded to the internet. So just so that people are aware of that. If you would like to ask a question, can I just ask that you raise your hand and I'll invite you to come forward. So is there anybody who has any questions? Ms. Jacobson.
Hello, Nonnie Jacobson, Spartan Parade, Bassendean. I've got a question actually regarding what Mr. Stuart Dawkins was just talking about with the Pickering Park boat ramp.
Is it working? Yeah, I don't think you're on
there.
I think
the microphones are on. Right. Yeah. The
power outage.
May have been affected by that power outage.
Flying magpie.
Sorry about that. Can you just try and speak up?
Yeah,
then?
I'll just walk.
Thank you.
I was just curious about the tidal influence apparently having an effect on it. One of the major impacts on that area of foreshore is boat watch, and I think it might be a good idea for us to collaborate with the state government and get some boat speed traps at our various river parks in Bassendean. We've seen some footage recently of people speeding through Success Hill area at incredible knots, but, you know, it's just completely unacceptable. And we've got some really good vantage points to actually be filming these people and finding them and educating them so they don't continue to behave like that and destroy the riverside assets that we have in this town.
Yeah. Before you move on to your next point, it's a really good point, and Council has a current resolution in relation to communicating on that particular issue. Have we had any response to that communication?
Council did actually resolve to request the WABC and the Department of Transport to actually consider putting in speed cameras for boats on the Swan River. And the letter was written in December, I think it was, but we haven't had any response to that letter at this stage.
And Councillor Hamilton's recently shared on social media the contact details for where people can actually send footage, photographs and rego numbers and so on. Would it be possible to have just an additional bit of signage down at our river parks actually advising people that they can do that? Because virtually everyone has a phone on them when they're walking their dog or whatever, and, you know, eyes on the street and the river is the cheapest way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm not sure whether we've communicated it recently on our own town Facebook, and so it might be something that we
could actually do it on site so people see.
Yeah, I'm talking about in addition to signage on site, just as many modes of communication as we can.
I'll have a look at that tomorrow in regards to. I do recall we've done it at least twice, I think, through Facebook, but we can follow that up again.
Thank you.
I just had a question about temporary fencing at Ashdale Reserve. What is the expected duration of that temporary fence?
Sorry, just through the chair. According to the email which we've received this week, they've indicated it's somewhere between 3 to 5 years to assist with the restoration work. So I assume that they will evaluate it at the end of that time to see whether the fencing applies to be there longer or whether they can have to remove it.
What was the expected duration of the temporary fence at Pickering Park?
At where, sir?
Pickering Park. The temporary fence there, which has been there for at least...
I'm not sure exactly that length of time. Of course, there has been a level of success with some of the foreshore treatment. However, with the foreshore vegetation work, but I'd have to have a look at that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know whether there is a plan to actually remove that at some stage.
We have had a number of issues with people trampling, of course, over the vegetation, so there's an advantage.
I think that the most damage was caused to vegetation by the vehicles that were used to actually put the rocks along the foreshore. Most of the mature trees actually died long after those works were undertaken. And just with regards to the Pickering Park boat ramp, is there an ongoing maintenance program expected to occur with that so that it can be inspected and looked after the remedial work has been done?
Yes, we do have an auditing program of our jetties and our boardwalks.
And my only other question is this new sign at Pickering Park, which depicts the car park area and all sorts of things. It's a bit vague as to what areas are dog on lead and dog off lead. and it might be good if that can be clarified a little bit on that signage. The signage also doesn't depict a boat ramp at all, and also depicts a thus far non-existent fishing jetty. There was one there a couple of decades ago, but there currently isn't one there. So I'm just curious, is there a plan to install a fishing jetty?
Yeah, funnily enough, that image was forwarded to me today. I think it's obviously an obsolete plan, because like you said, the jetty was removed a number of years ago. So, and there's no intention of putting a new jetty back there.
It'd be good if we could have one.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to ask a question? Yes.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Richardson from 34A Broadway. I just wanted to touch base with the cycle access path that's going on. So at the moment, there's a lot of talk in the community that if we take the cycle path now, we won't be able to plant trees in the future. And then if we don't take the cycle path, we can go and plant the trees. My worry is that if we turn down the cycle path now, are we actually going to get the money and the funding and do the trees? Is it going to take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? How long is it going to take, and is it going to happen? Because people do want trees, but we also sort of want the cycle path, and I just worry that we're going to end up with nothing, basically. So kind of just figuring out where we lie with that.
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer because, as you and I have had discussions, that we're in a situation where we've got a fixed width of the road at this point in time that will allow us to either have two bike lanes and the minimum width road carriage to accommodate the bus, or we could forego that option and we could, at some stage, when council, this council or council in the future, decides to support putting in a median strip with trees, then that would then be a possibility in the future. But at this point in time, there's no resolution of council and no plan for that in the immediate future. So you're right, it is an option for us to do that at some stage, but right at this point in time, the plan we have before us is about access to the train station and putting in the bike lanes. So this is why it becomes a bit complicated, because we've got two somewhat contradictory situations where we want trees, but we also want cycle access, and with the current road that we've got, both aren't possible. I don't know, do you have anything that you would like to add to that?
Look, it's obviously there's some debate this evening in council in regards to the options that are on the table. So maybe this debate, and then we'll find out where we're going to go.
And I guess, you know, your purpose of standing up is to raise your concern about whether something happens in that location or not. Is that?
Yeah, we definitely need something. You know, it's a very fast street, and you know, I'm hearing hoons and things all day long, so something's better than nothing, and there are a lot of people walking down there, so you sort of see the best of both sides. It's just, I don't want to end up with nothing, and I know, you know, council budgets get planned a long time out, and you know, money has to come from somewhere, and just making sure that, you know, if it was turned down, that it's 100% going to happen, because especially, you know, after getting all the residents involved, we want to see that something happens. Otherwise, it's a bit tricky that we've put our effort into it and then we've kind of lost out on both, whereas there's a lot of people for the cycle path as well, so it's a tricky one, but just making sure it's going to happen, something's going to happen. So
yeah, it's a tricky one for us too. So yeah, no, thank you for coming along and sharing your thoughts. Mr. Bridges?
I need to stand there. Paul Bridges, 150 West Road, Bassendean. Two questions. One to do with the sign, which everybody's felt a bit awkward about at Pickering Park and in Darling Park. Not only does it have the jetty in there, but it's quite confusing about what the boat ramp is, because there's a squiggly line and the car park's gone and there is an access to the river, but it doesn't look like it's, you know, a boat ramp, which could explain some of the confusion. Mind you, I had nothing to do with the social media that was put out on that, just for people's instance. But equally, in the middle of the park, there's eight houses, and that's all put up as parkland. Now, my question is, are you planning to rectify that by replacing the signs, or are we going to live with the signs that are there?
Firstly, I suppose a resident's apology. I think what happened was it was identified that the boat ramp was a hazard. Staff were trying to close the boat ramp and put a sign up there to advise residents. So I don't think there was probably They didn't recognise.
Sorry, I think there's some confusion.
So you're talking about the sign that's got the area map, and the one that I sent you today.
Yes, you're talking about the sign that says that the boat ramp's now temporarily closed.
Yes, there's a sign, there's another sign there. So look, we'll the mayor's forwarded that on to me and we'll follow it up tomorrow.
Thank you.
But that doesn't answer my question. Is the intention to replace or correct the signs that are the overall dimensions of the park, which don't show the residential area in the middle, which show a fishing jetty which isn't there, and distort the boat ramp?
I think as you indicated, the plan is obsolete, so probably would be prudent for it to be removed.
Right, so it's
a brand new sign.
Nobody's answering my question.
No, but he's apologised. I think he's apologised that the signage is inaccurate, and he's given an assurance that tomorrow he will follow it up.
All right. Yep. Okay, thanks. My second question relates to item 10.18 on the agenda, where I had some concerns about a particular resolution that was referred to.
Yep.
So I put that out to all the councillors and to the CEO. And I notice on the table here the amended version. It still has what I consider the incorrect council resolution. Now, I'm referring to it's 10.18.1, where it says, council revokes the adopted street key master plan, which I heartily support. I strongly support that. And then it goes on to enable staff to enact council resolution OCM 1-3/12/09. Now, the street tree master plan was adopted in December of 09, and it was probably adopted on the basis of that resolution or matters pertaining to that. So it seems a bit strange that council refers to revoking the plan so that council can enact the motion.
I completely understand where you're coming from, because when we read this, we identified that there was an issue with it as well. So I think it's in error, and the version that you have in front of you has corrected the motion in point two.
Yes.
But you're correct. I think in point one as well, the council resolution that we want to enact is the recent one that identifies 70% canopy cover and the kind of trees that we want to plant in order to achieve that. So the broad canopy, resistant to disease, don't drop boughs and those kind of things. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes. But because until now I never knew which resolution it was actually referring to, I was a bit confused. When I pointed this out to Councillor Wilson in the foyer, he said that part of the motion wasn't moved by the committee and has been since added. Now, can I have somebody, and because we can't search that far back, can somebody email me a copy of that particular resolution?
The one from 09?
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Definitely. Councillor Wilson's just flagged that he's intending to move an amendment to that motion anyway. Yep. Are there any further questions? And are there any people that want to make any statements on particular agenda items? Ms. Jacobson?
Molly Jacobson, Spartan Parade, Bassendean. I just want to make a comment on item 10.6, which is in regards to animals and nuisance and so on. I think anything this town can do to encourage responsible chicken ownership and husbandry is a positive thing. In terms of sustainability and environmental benefits, and also, sourcing food locally and so on. Most people who keep chickens in suburban yards keep them like pets and look after them quite well. And I think anything that can actually be helping that along, rather than being too prescriptive and prohibitive, is actually a positive step.
Thank you. Any further comments? Okay, so thank you very much. We'll close public question time. Moving on to item 3, attendances, apologies and applications for leave. Councillor Mikichin?
Yep, the 27th of February to the 4th of March.
So 27th of Feb to the 4th of March. Are there any others? Councillor Brown?
Yes, you wish. 15th of this month, the 20th of this month inclusive.
So 15th of March?
15th of March to the 20th of March inclusive.
Do we have a mover? Yep, Councillor Hamilton, a seconder. Councillor Gangell, all those in favour? It's passed unanimously. Item 4 is deputations. I haven't had any requests, have you? Okay. Item 5, confirmation of the minutes. So 5.1 is the ordinary council meeting held on the 18th of December. That the minutes of the ordinary council meeting be received. Do I have a mover for that? Councillor Gangell, a seconder. Councillor Mikichuk, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously. And item 5.1b, that the minutes are confirmed as a true record. Councillor Gangell moves, seconded. Councillor Brown, all those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Item 6 is announcements. I have just two short announcements. Firstly, to let people know that last week the town team met for the first time, and there's a really interested group of people that came along, including Lizzie Richardson, who's here with us tonight, and I think both of you were present as well, which is great. And so there's lots of opportunity there for that to be a really positive movement in our town, and there are going to be future meetings as of next week. So just to encourage anyone who hasn't been able to get along yet and is interested to still get involved and put their hand up. And also just to acknowledge that the work of Jerry Coleman in nominating the town's historic red pillar box, post box, that was just recently listed on the State Heritage Register. So that's the oldest working post box, red pillar post box in WA, and thanks to Jerry for his efforts in making that happen. Item 7 is petitions. Sorry. I don't believe there are any. Sorry.
Just maybe mention the Wonder Realm.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you, Councillor Gangell. Very important. So, yes. Councillor Gangell has just reminded me that since the last meeting, we also had Wonder Realm, which hopefully lots of you were able to come and enjoy. It was a fantastic effort by Nella Fitzgerald, who is a local resident. And if any of you have not yet heard, the event won the Best Community and Free Event for the Fringe Festival. So that was a fabulous result for the town. And big congratulations to Nella. Thanks for her efforts, and thanks to the staff who also supported this particular festival. It's great. Hopefully we'll have it back again next year. Thank you, Councillor Gangell. Declarations of interest, item 8. Councillor Mikichuk, you declared one at the briefing session.
Impartiality interest I don't know what item it is. It's the Indoor Can funding. Thank you.
Councillor Wilson.
And I also have an impartiality interest in relation to item 10.6 due to my irrational love of chickens.
Okay, thank you. Item 9, business deferred. There was none. So moving on to item 10, which is reports. At the moment, I have the following coming out of en bloc. I have 10.2, 10.4, 10.5, 10.6, 10.10, 10.13, 10.17, 10.18, and 13.1. Are there others that councillors would like? Yes, Councillor Wilson?
10.20, please.
10.20, that's the financial statements.
Yes, please.
And 10.19.
Okay, thank you. 10.12, yep.
Which one are you doing?
Any further?
10.9 just needs a very minor adjustment with that in front of the motion.
Okay, yep, I did have that highlighted. Is there a question over here that I missed something?
No,
it's okay.
Is 10.12 coming out?
10.12 is out.
Sorry, Your Worship, could you just
go through it again?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
10.2, 10.4, 10.5, 10.6, 10.9, 10.10, 10.12, 10.13, 10.17, 10.18, 10.20, 13.1. Councillor Hamilton?
Could I also have 10.14 out, just for one question?
10.14 out, quarterly reports?
Yep.
Okay, so if that's everything, can I have a mover to accept the rest en bloc? Councillor Brown, a seconder. Councillor Mikichuk, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously. So then we'll move on to item 10.2, which is the station access cycle and pedestrian upgrade for Broadway. So first of all, are there any questions for the staff on this item? Councillor Gangell.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just wondering if you could tell me, I know there has been emails going around today,
but I did ask Mr. Dawkins prior to the meeting. I think you might have the information on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just a general ballpark figure for the cost of the Shackleton Street medium strip works that are undertaken there.
Through the chair. Yes, there was an email provided to councillors yesterday regarding that issue, and Shackleton Street traffic treatment, the median island was approximately 129,800. Tree planting and the water sensitive urban design treatments was approximately 156,500. And the road resurfacing was 156,500 approximately, which was a total of 342,800.
And is the link comparative to the Broadway? Any further questions, Councillor Gangell?
No, thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Hamilton?
Yes, through the chair. I just want to confirm, because I'm sure that the swales or water sensitive urban design was not included in the pricing or the budget for PTA. That's correct? That anything like that has to be paid by the town?
Yes, so the landscape elements, everything, the recent correspondence which has been provided to councillors this evening, there's a letter and an email provided to councillors. It has indicated that the Town of Assadine's contribution of $100,000 can now be just allocated specifically for the landscape elements, tree planting, verge planting.
So, just so specifically, the rain swales. Gardens or swales, whatever you want to call them, they're not included in the current plan unless we allocate the funds to do that work.
I just wanted to advise the Chair that I do have an alternative or an amendment.
Sure.
I think it's more an alternative.
Okay, so does everybody have a copy of Councillor Hamilton's?
Yes.
Are there other questions before we have a look at Councillor Hamilton's? Yeah, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. So when this project was first raised with us, we were told that it would be in the ballpark of $500,000 and that the town would be required to contribute $100,000. And then we were subsequently told that it would be significantly cheaper, but we'd still be required to put in $100,000. And then now on Friday, between the briefing and this meeting, we've been advised that we don't have to put in $100,000 at all. What rationale has been given by the state government for their three different positions on this?
Peter, you may have had
Certainly. I think part of state government's project management approach is a
very generous way to describe it.
is there's a level of accuracy that occurs as a project progresses. So we're right at the pre-tender stage at the moment, and so the level of accuracy is more clarified than what it was initially at the concept planning stage. I had a discussion with PTA on Friday with regards to the $100,000 that the town was going to contribute, and essentially negotiated that we could take that money off the table and they would pay for the construction of the bike path as it's currently stands. So the $100,000 is something we may wish to consider towards landscaping, if that's considered a priority.
Just a subsequent question too, which is more for the public record than anything else, because it relates to matters that have arisen during discussion outside of the meeting. Can staff confirm that within the existing curb width of the road, there is room for only cycleway or medium strip painting, but not both, and explain why that's the case?
Yes, so prior to this project commencing, there was a desire to try and provide a shade canopy over the road surface, and that was the initial intent. As the concept planning process and detailed designing process continued or was being undertaken, it was identified what the carriageway requirement was for a bus route, and then of course the lane width for a cycling route. When they looked at the overall width of the current carriageway, there wasn't sufficient width to have a median strip and the bus carriageway and the cycling lane. So then there's been options that we've looked at in regards to whether we could potentially widen the road, but if we widen the road, in essence where it would be impacting, increasing the road surface, which is increasing the heat load. So there's a number of factors which we would need to take into consideration. Obviously that is feasible, but that would be fully at the Town of Bassendean's cost to widen the road and to put in the median strip and any associated works with that road. So PTA have said to us that they're only prepared to undertake the works associated with the lane, the cycle lanes on each side, which is to put the red asphalt and the line marking on the road.
So just to clarify, in terms of widening the road, I think our discussions, even if we were to consider that at our own cost, it would have a very high cost because of the drainage impacts, the crossover impacts, and also the potential impact on the existing street trees. Is that correct?
Yes. So there's drainage network along the side of the road, so that would all have to be relocated. There would have to be need to be an extension of the actual road into the verge area. So that would then get closer to the existing jacarandas, so that would come get close to their root zone. I think in some cases it was even getting close to the stem. I'm not sure, but it was close to anyway. And so they were the main aspects, yes.
Can I request, David Wise provided us with some figures and the letter, I believe, from Jim from PTA. Can we have that included in the attachments when these get published? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. So keeping, if hypothetically we were to keep the verges where they are, how would it be possible or what would be necessary to occur in order for there to be median strip tree planting down that section of the road?
The information which you have in front of you provides the recommended width for a median strip, which is at 1.8 metres wide. And the reason why that's recommended through Foss Roads is that it provides a refuge for pedestrians and for people with prams, that when they're crossing from one side of the road to the other, they have a space to have what they call refuge. So I suppose potentially council could narrow that median strip below the Australian standards. That's a possibility. But there hasn't been any detailed designs done to confirm that that's possible.
Sorry, so the information that you provided earlier, which said that there wouldn't be room for both cycleway and a median strip painting, was that based on the median strip being 1.8 metres wide?
Yes, that's correct.
So how wide is the Shackleton Strip?
The Shackleton Street is only about 900, but that's really very narrow. That was reduced to in order to accommodate, again, that was reduced to in order to accommodate that median strip.
Is there a width of median strip that would fit if you were to have cycleway and room for buses?
We'd need to go away. I think you're wanting me to try and give a decision here that would be. I think we'd need to go away and do a detailed design or designs before we came back and made a on the spot decision in regards to a potential direction.
Okay, well, maybe I can figure it out very quickly. So the existing curb width is on this plan here is what, 9.7 metres?
Yes,
that's right.
Okay, and the bike lane requires 1 metre?
1.25.
Okay, it says 1 metre.
No, that's the existing road.
Uh-huh.
So it's the one down the bottom.
Yeah. All right. And so the lane width is 3.3. So if we had a 1 metre wide bike lane,
that's what they've got now.
That's then the bike lane is not complying with the current standards.
Okay, so it needs to be 1.25.
We're not really achieving.
So I think the one bike lane in the top diagram is a bit misleading because that's just currently the white line painted on the road. It's not officially a bike lane.
30 centimetres short. 30 centimetres too narrow for what
you want. And the intent of this particular project
was that... For 900.
Can we just have one person speaking, please?
The intent of this particular project from PTAP, the Public Transport Authority, was that they're wanting to improve cycling capacity down this road. So at the moment, this 1 metre lane that's on the road is below standard. So we're trying to bring it up to a standard which is going to increase cycling capacity in that road.
Okay, but what I'm trying to ascertain through these questions is that I've been advised that there is room for either cycleway or medium strip planting, but not both. Now, if that is on the basis that the median strip is 1.8 metres wide, which is a recommendation and not a strict hard guideline, what I'd like to know is that what width of median strip would fit in that space?
As I mentioned to you, I don't really want to make a decision or make a comment here on the off the cuff. I'd rather that we go away and actually do a design if that's what council wishes us to do.
Yes, and I guess when I asked these same questions at the briefing session on Tuesday, I was hoping that that would occur between then and now, but it appears it's not.
I'm just wondering, do we know, it's all right if it's not, just for my... information here. Government was going to fund the continuation of the shared bike path at Success Hill Station. Do we know where that is at, or if that's actually occurring, or what's happened there?
We did receive an email, which is a generic email sent out to people who participated in a walkthrough before Christmas. And the email from the Department of Transport indicated that they were reviewing the feedback received and options that are available to them. But it was quite a generic email, so it didn't really give us any clear indication.
Okay. So, Councillor Ganger, my understanding is that they're looking at three different options now and they're preparing the diagrams, and the intention is to bring them back
With no time frame at this stage.
No.
Yeah. And just
it should be fairly soon though from what they've said.
Yeah. And just quickly, just the other one, just with in relation to cycle paths in the town. The Whitfield Street project. Can I just get it, if anybody knows, an update where the Whitfield Street project's at?
We're finalising the detailed designs for that project. Once they're completed, we'll be looking at going out to tender it.
And just one very quick additional question there. Just refresh my memory on the allocated funding that we'll propose to get for that. Do we know? Just a rough ballpark? Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Councillor Mitchell.
Yeah, this maybe more relates to potentially the foreshadowed motion, but I'm just not clear if the PTA's proposal is just to look at bike lanes rather than on landscaping. Just trying to understand and maybe this is a question for Councillor Hamilton, I just don't know where it's going to fit into tonight's discussion or if there'll be the opportunity to ask for questions on the foreshadowed motion before we vote on the original one. But I'm just trying to understand, and I guess this is just not being able to fully have a look at this much more than it being on the table now, just understanding the additions regarding tree retention and the different measures in place to protect trees and how what the PTA proposes may mean that's under threat.
So the current plans don't propose removing any trees, and my understanding of Councillor Hamilton's foreshadowed motion is just to ensure that that is clearly documented, that it's not we're not supportive of any trees being impacted or removed if this project is to go ahead. Is that an accurate reflection?
I just was unsure whether I'd missed something that was being proposed that...
No.
Maybe I wasn't across. And I guess I'm just wondering in regards to the swales, that they were to be at our costs and the proposition that we may not proceed with them. Just trying to, I guess, trying to understand the rationale for that.
Through the chair again. The swales was something that council had previously, Water Sense of Urban Design was something that our council has previously indicated they wish for us to consider with whenever we're looking at roadworks. So that was part of the resolution the council passed, and so the design we have before you tonight illustrates that there was going to be some rain gardens proposed for the verge areas. There was the plans illustrate proposed sites, and that was based on where the existing drainage pits were. And then the opportunity to have some type of storm event flow into those rain gardens. The other option we have is to, at the moment, the drainage sumps have actually got a sealed bottom. That was a tradition that we did years ago. So potentially we could knock out the bottom of those drainage sumps as well, which would increase stormwater flow into the groundwater, into the ground area. So the location of the rain gardens would need to be further consultation with the adjacent property owner, configuring them to fit the site around any trees or moving them around.
If we were to construct them, though, what would be the impact?
Look, as I said to you, say for example we didn't construct them, we can definitely knock out the bottom of the drainage sumps, so there's going to be some stormwater flow into the ground.
It's possible to do it without the swales. Thank you. Councillor Wikichuk, did you have another question, or were you directing it at Councillor Hamilton? Councillor Hamilton. Okay.
Following on from what you've just said, Stuart Dawkins, I'm really interested in the drainage sumps and how you said the bottom of that could come out and can act to direct water into our groundwater. Would that be part of our costs or part of PTA's costs?
Because we've only just received this letter, or the feedback from them on Monday, in correspondence today, I'm thinking potentially it would just be our cost to knock out the bottom, but that would be further discussed with the PTA as to how that would work.
Okay, that's an interesting point, because I see that as potentially, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see that as potentially being a solution for returning stormwater back to the ground. So that's an interesting one, which I haven't heard before. And I may actually add something like that into the amendment if people don't mind, but we'll move on. I have another question. At the December meeting, I believe that our mayor did ask about planted zones in the small islands that are at the from Railway Parade and into Broadway. And there was some debate about that being problematic because water trucks couldn't water, it would be a busy intersection, blah, blah, blah. So my question is, at the time we asked about getting sprinklers or something into that area so that water trucks wouldn't have to do it, and I was told that the water would have to be accessed from the nearest footpath. Now, again, coming back to infrastructure, and given that we're not going to have much in the way of plantings as it is at the moment, could you perhaps see PTA as maybe coming to the party there and installing some of that infrastructure so that we could have planted zones in those small medians that already exist, of which I think there's four or five?
Yes. I think probably based on the PTA's feedback to us and our review of those plans, the cost of the landscaping or reticulation to them would be at our cost. So we would need to undertake an evaluation to determine the cost, say for example the plumb underneath the road, and to have a point at which our watering truck could actually plug into a reticulated system and pump water into those garden beds, or whether we apply for a water meter from Water Corporation and have that on a little battery timer to turn on the reticulation. So we'd have to look at the cost, what the options are for the long term, and also the type of plantings that we'd need in there to reduce our water requirements.
Okay.
But to answer your question, would PTA provide that plumbing underneath the road? I wouldn't think so, because they've asked them to advise us that the $100,000 is for a landscape.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So my next question is, because we have this divide between what PTA are going to provide and what we may or may not provide in respect to landscaping.
Today?
Yep.
Could be different tomorrow.
So I'm thinking that potentially we should separate out, and this is why and you can certainly give me your advice, Mr. Stuart Dawkins, but I was thinking that we should separate out any landscaping elements so that as a council we can come back to that and decide on that separate from the PTA works, which are more infrastructure based. Would you consider that to be an appropriate course of action at this time or not?
I have a copy of your draft options, alternative motion. It's sitting there for 3A, that all existing trees to be retained and protected. Albeit we do have a tree protection policy, so that would be certainly fine, no problems at all. PTA to use permeable paving in and around tree trunk zones at adequate distances. The permeable paving issue, you're thinking of which area were you?
It's where the station is. There is a large London plane tree, and they've got a pathway that curves around that tree. And I suspect, although it's rather difficult to ascertain, I suspect that that is actually concrete, maybe. And I was hoping that around that tree they might do permeable, but I can't actually read the grid to know exactly what that pathway is made of.
Yes, so it indicates on the plan that it's amending existing.
It looks like it's concrete.
Existing, yes.
So my question was whether it was potential, because that is literally the only tree that I think would be affected. I was asking if that little section that curves around the tree could possibly be permeable paving to allow the tree to have better health. So that's all I'm asking. Okay. It may not be potentially possible.
Look, I think we could potentially ask if it's just that area. I think we can ask PTA in regards to that option.
Okay.
Do
you want
to
ask that question?
Provision of all infrastructure required to...
You ask. That's confidential.
It's confidential.
Sorry.
So, Councillor Hamilton, are you
looking at that?
It's a small amount, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Are there further questions at this point? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. On the bottom of page 5, there's
a...
Of the agenda?
Yep.
It describes the walkthrough that was conducted with Mayor, elected members, CEO, engineering coordinator, Public Transport Authority, that approximately 20 people attended the walkthrough. And we are being advised that listening to the resident comments provided, overall feedback was positive for the project. Would you care to elaborate on what was meant by that?
I was on manual leave at that stage, so the acting director is not here this evening. I can't give you any direct feedback in regards to what was communicated there, only that what the officers written in his report.
Would it surprise you then that in the discussions that I've had with those people subsequent to the meeting, I was told that options that they would prefer were not presented to them, and that they were told something along the lines, it's this or nothing, but the possibility that there's an option C or another way of doing things was not ventilation.
I think that might have been communicated by PTA because of the, I guess, the late hour of the project. So I think there was a keenness to meet a time frame of 30th of June to expend their funds, and they were concerned about the procurement time frame. So given the project had had almost a 11-12 month sort of gestation period, they were concerned that the time was getting away from them. So they were keen to see things move forward in the current form. And I guess the walkthrough, without putting words in their mouth, was seen more as a communication exercise, that this is what's being proposed. And I think from a community's perspective, it was probably more a discovery exercise in terms of, oh, this is what's being proposed.
Rather than consultation, as it were.
I think once it was understood what was being proposed, there was some discussion about some options, but I think there was a general feeling that something was better than nothing.
Yes.
Cass, how do you have another question?
I don't have a question. I was wondering if you would like me to read
yes,
out.
Yes, please.
I'd like to move the procedural motion. I'd like to move that this item be deferred for a month so that we can get the additional information that we clearly do not have or have had time to consider properly to consider this motion.
Is there a seconder for the motion?
Can I just, before we move to that, can we get clarification on our absolute deadline for this, please?
Tonight. So the project will be taken off the table.
Okay, and what's the reasoning for tonight?
Because of the time frame. So there's actually a procurement process that needs to occur, so a request for tender to actually undertake the work and obviously to expend the funds by 30th of June.
That's outrageous.
So that was my discussion on Friday with PTA.
Okay, so hold on a moment. We've had moved a deferral. I believe there was no seconder. Is that correct? Okay, so that lapses. Did you have a question, Councillor Mikichuk?
In regards to the current officer recommendation, obviously that talks about committing to what the PTA has proposed. I note that it says about what the town can spend their money on. Is that an absolute commitment in regards to what we will choose to spend?
I wouldn't believe so.
No, yeah. That's entirely up to the town.
Okay, so we still have an opportunity to nut that out beyond this evening. So really what we're talking about this evening is what PTA is proposing, whether we accept that as is or not.
I would just like to point something out. So given your questions earlier on about the width of the road and what size median strip could be accommodated within the current road, if you have a look at the attachment, so page 32 of the attachments, there's a cross-section of the road. What's not shown on the diagram that we got provided today is an additional 40-centimetre buffer between the bike lane and the vehicle lane. So that's probably what has impacted on the information that we've been provided, saying that there's not enough space for a median island.
Potentially. Who would know? Who would know?
Councillor Brown.
Listening to the CEO, it's still a work in progress. I mean, up until Friday, we got a letter that made significant changes and alterations to it with the movement of the $100,000. So some of those things that Councillor Wilson brought up, is there still an opportunity in this, if we agree tonight, to negotiate some of those changes? They seem to be fairly...
So you're asking, can we investigate whether there is enough space on the road to accommodate a median island of some size?
They've shown that they're willing to be flexible. So if we agree tonight and we go back and highlight a couple of those concerns that Councillor Wilson has. We can still get the project done and dusted if we were to approach them with that, some of those ideas. That's what I'm saying.
They'll stop being flexible once we agree.
Councillor Hamilton has a question.
We've got an excellent negotiator. Anything can be negotiated.
May I ask a question of the officers?
Yes.
Or the CEO, whoever. I did float an idea at the community meeting, but it didn't get a reception. So let me ask you this. If we proceed with the project as outlined by PTA, and at some stage in the future we decide, I don't know, 2 years, 5 years, whatever, timeline in the future, we decide that we wish to do median strips in that street with plants. It would entail, obviously, cutting into the verge, but what we could possibly do is only cut into the verge on one side, and that would only entail expenditure of drainage on one side. But you're saying that the cost would be somewhat expensive. So my question to you is, if we proceed with this PTA plan, does it preclude us in the future at some stage from investigating and potentially at our own cost installing median strips with verge with plantings and a bike lane that's moved in a bit? Yes? No?
Yes, it's our road reserve. It's our road, so if council wished in the future to modify that road in any way, subject to main road department approval in regards to the changes, yes, that's fine. So what you're saying is, can a median strip be put in there, and can we widen the road in the future? Council wish to do that in the future and allocate additional funding? Yes, that's possible.
Councillor Wilson?
So it's been put to us verbally without anything in writing or any drawings to verify or substantiate what's being said, but for the sake of argument, let's assume that what we're being told is true. The need to move drainage works, is that predicated on there being a 1.8 metre wide median strip, or would a narrower median strip mean that drainage works were not required to be moved?
The drainage is on the curb line of the road, not in the median, not in the centre of the road. The road is convex, which means the water falls to the curb line. That's where all the drainage is.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton, we haven't heard your proposed motion, so maybe we should get you to read that out at this point in time.
Okay. The first point, point one, that Council notes the Perth Transport Authority advised that the town's $100,000 contribution towards the station access cycle and pedestrian upgrade boardway project can be utilised for landscaping, streetscaping based upon Council's requirements, and the Public Transport Authority will cover the cost of cycle and pedestrian and intersection upgrades. Point two, notes the feedback from the Perth Transport Authority regarding opportunities for improving amenity and the planting of trees along the cycle route, including the possibility of medium planting, and that additional tree planting will need to be conducted by the town at the town's cost. I then deleted the last part of that from the because the medians are already in the plan, so I don't believe that that needs to be in there. Point three, endorses the final Public Transport Authority detailed design for the station access, cycle and pedestrian upgrade, Broadway, Bassany, and approves the Public Transport Authority proceeding to the construction phase subject to A, all existing trees being retained and protected throughout the project, and if damaged, replaced per the town's policies at PTA expense. B, PTA to use permeable paving in and around tree trunk zones installed at adequate distances and in the required manner to enhance tree health. C, provision of all infrastructure requirements to and at medians in the attached PTA plans within the project area that facilitates sprinkler or drip watered planting zones. I may consider deleting that given the advice from the officers. Point four, advise staff and PTA that at this time the installation of swales as outlined in attached plans will not proceed. However, future council consideration of this proposal may occur, subject to a provision of swale design plan that highlights pertinent information such as dimensions, depths and associated risks. B, properties adjoining proposed swales being accurately identified and directly consulted by town staff, and C, that said consultation feedback be provided to council prior to any future decision being made, and D, that no existing trees be removed to facilitate the installation of swales.
So you mentioned point C.
Point C, 3C. Yep. I think that that may not...
So we need to know whether you're proposing that or not.
I think that that should be deleted because I don't think it would happen.
I'm confused if there's an installation of swales and then no existing trees be removed if swales do go ahead. Can I just say, like, it's quite difficult to tell the difference between what's originally been proposed in this and understand it and really give it a fair hearing at the meeting, and I'm trying to be able to make a good decision, but at the moment things are seeming a bit murky for me.
So can I just clarify? So at the moment point four was referring to the swales. So if the rest of the motion was passed, the swales would be somewhat irrelevant at this point in time because they're not part of the project scope. Is that correct? So Councillor Hamilton, maybe you can clarify what you're trying to achieve through including that point.
In the... in the confidential stuff, there's some minor works that relate to the swales that would be PTA expenditure, and it seems pointless to do that if we're not going to proceed with the swales. So this is to advise staff that at this point in time, until we've actually done community consultation and actually got proper things, I don't think that that should be included in this stage of the plans. So that's the only reason I've included it, and plus to perhaps give direction as to how we might go about this if we are going to put swales in, because I have concerns about the swales and I believe that there should be some rather strong consultation and there should be some parameters around that rather than just saying, oh, well, okay, we can put swales in. So I'm asking for some strong guidelines around that if we proceed along it.
Had a question, Councillor Quinton?
I'm just going to make a suggestion that why would we not just keep the swales in and then down the track if we decide to take it out, that there's no skin off their nose, really. We might as well just keep it.
Because it...
Okay, so at present that's not going to be part of the project scope after the negotiation to have our $100,000 retained for what purposes we see fit. The swales will no longer be constructed.
Okay, so, well, if you...
Can you say that again, please?
Sorry. So after the negotiation where our $100,000 is not required for the project, the swales have now been removed from the project. So at this point in time, unless we specifically say we are going to construct swales, it's not happening. So it's kind of irrelevant at this point.
So I think I would like to move the officer recommendation.
Hold on a sec. So... Councillor Mikichuk is wanting to move the officer recommendation, but you had something you wanted to say.
I was going to say that if it is facilitates easy, I would be quite happy to delete all of point four.
And pretty much everything that you've added in point three is, it's not really adding much to
the permeable paving
station. Okay. You were trying to move your foreshadow motion. Are you happy for us with that being removed for Councillor Hamilton to proceed with her?
And just to clarify, it encompasses what's in the officer recommendation but has some extra contingencies in regards to permeable paving and survival of trees.
That's correct.
Yes, if that's the case.
Okay. So just so everyone's clear, we've got Councillor Hamilton's motion that has added intersection upgrades in point one, to be specific. It's added point A and B that are relating to tree retention and permeable paving, and we've removed point C, and we're removing all of
point four.
Okay. So it's essentially the officer recommendation with some clarity around our expectations for the existing trees. Yep. So Councillor Hamilton, you've moved that motion. Are you seconding Councillor Mikichuk? Is there anyone against? Councillor Wilson, would you like to open debate, Councillor Hamilton?
This has been a difficult project where I would agree with Councillor Wilson that at the beginning March and May last year that what was proposed seems to have changed considerably in the path down to where we are now. However, irrespective of the fact that we may not get what we were presented with in March, there are still benefits to this project, and one of the primary benefits I see is the upgrade of the intersection around the railway line, around the station. I see that as being a primary advantage, and in fact when that area is upgraded it may well result in perhaps some modified behaviour in drivers coming around those corners and down Broadway. I don't know, I can't see into the future, but you know, it's a possibility. So residents may possibly get some traffic modification in the speeding. I would agree with Councillor Wilson that I would love to have mediums down the middle of the road. However, given some of the pricing that may be associated with that, I would prefer to actually go with something that at least gets us halfway there. So having that intersection upgraded, having the bike path put in at this stage, it may well mean that when we come to perhaps modifying this street in the future, that we have some of the infrastructure in place already, and as a town we do not have to spend quite so much ratepayers' money into the future if we choose, or if a future council chooses to go down modifying that road once more. So that's my logic behind this. I have tried with the amendments I've put in to ensure that we get the best results, and I would hope that this does provide some benefit to the residents in that street. That's.
Thank you. Councillor Mikichuk.
Yeah, just following on from the points Councillor Hamilton made, I think the PTO proposal, while exactly not what we initially thought we were embarking on, certainly does meet some needs, and it certainly looks at improving, you know, allowing safer access for bicycles. Hopefully that will have the flow-on effects in regards to traffic speeds and amenity and the provision of access to the train station, which certainly we're trying to discourage people from using their vehicles and having safer ways to travel. In regards to the provision of extra trees, you know, I'm certainly for that within our town, and it would be wonderful if we could achieve both of those outcomes. I think if we went ahead and declined the PTA's proposal this evening, there's no guarantee that there is commitment from council as a whole, or that Broadway would be a priority out of all the streets in our town, some of which don't have trees. You know, Broadway has great verges, some wonderful tree assets, and certainly it'd be wonderful if we could have more. But I think there's, you know, if we're considering where we're going to spend the town's money and which areas, you know, there are some areas that are completely barren, we might want to consider that in good faith, apart from what the PTA is proposing, and where do we choose to do that as a council. And I feel like probably the proposal now is kind of rolling into one, and I think we should look at tree canopy separate and which areas most need that in our town. You know, where could you walk now where, you know, there's no coverage at all, where there's no amenity, where there's no green, you know, and we should give that due consideration. And I think that's really, really important. And again, you know, I really take on board the comments made from the gallery today that there's no guarantee, should we turn down this proposal, that we are able to enact some greening of Broadway, even if some councillors are for that and others may want to consider other areas of the town. So, you know, I think there's the potential that neither of those things would be achieved, and I think that's really important. You know, we're trying to gain benefit for our community, and I think by passing what's currently proposed and the additional measures Councillor Hamilton's put in place to protect the trees that are there, certainly go quite some way to ticking boxes of what we're trying to achieve in our town, and then allow us at a different point to think about where we would like to have further tree canopy, or under which conditions we'd like to consider that.
that. So, yeah, if you could.
Thank you. Consider that. That'd be much appreciated.
Much like the residents on Broadway, either voting for or against this motion is not my preferred option. I want option C, right, which is not currently on the table. But unfortunately, given the constraints of our standing orders and the way debate works, the only option I have left is to say no to this motion, which is what I'm going to do now. I'll explain my reasoning. I read the staff report comments saying, listening to the residents' comments provided, overall feedback was positive for the project, and I found that somewhat hard to believe. So I took it upon myself to consult with the residents in Broadway who had formed a Facebook group around this project and to enter into discussion with this project. And I asked the question. I said, look, I've been told, and it turns out subsequently that maybe the advice was a little bit more flexible than I'd been initially given to believe, but I've been told that there's either room for a cycleway or trees, but not both. And I said, in a perfect world, in the situation in which your only choice is a cycleway or trees in the medium strip, which would you prefer? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people of the 18 on the group took their time to respond to that. One of them, Paul, said, yeah, no, I want the cycleway rather than the trees. Thanks, Paul, I appreciate that. Richard and Alison, they said, well, we want both. This is a false choice. That isn't a perfect world to say that you can either have cycleway or medium strip planning. We actually want both. We entered into some discussion to say that that would be a significantly more expensive project than the budget that's currently allocated. Then Stephanie, Lizzie, Cassie and Jenny all made it clear that if there was a choice between cycleway or medium strip planting, they wanted the medium strip planting instead. This is the people who live on that strip. I took the time to ask, and they gave me their feedback. I intend to honour that feedback by saying that I do not support this motion as it's currently put because I want something different. I want option C. I find it frustrating, I think is a charitable way to describe it, to have sought repeatedly assurances that there was room only for cycleway or medium strip, and then to find out a matter of hours before the meeting that, well, maybe there is, but the assumptions that we've used are that there's a 1.8 metre wide medium strip, which is double the width of the medium strip that we've just installed in Shackleton Street. So none of us are in a position to make a responsible decision on this motion because we haven't got the information before us. And if we think, or if we're being led to believe, or if we want to believe that there's some arbitrary timeline here, then I think that's false. I think there's more time than the government wants to make us think. And I know that's true because they've already changed their position three times, including as recently as Friday. So no, I don't think it's responsible to accept this without the information that we all properly have before us to make a proper decision. And if given the choice between something, in this case, or nothing, then I want the nothing, because I want to have, in the future, the option to put medium strip planning in, which is what we as a council resolved a few meetings ago to do, which is to have 70% tree canopy cover in our streets.
Okay, other speakers for the motion? Councillor Gangell?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I didn't know prior to coming into here how I would look at this motion tonight. I just want to clarify just a point Councillor Wilson brings up. There was no option A or option B. It was always an option to look at putting a bike path through as part of a contribution by the state government. So there was no, you could have option A, which is a bike path, or you can have option B, which is a medium strip with plantings down it. So there was never actually option A and B available. It was always the bike path. Now, I am three from three. When it comes to bike path infrastructure in this town. Strongly support the Whitfield bike path being implemented. Strongly support the Success Hill shared path. I don't cycle myself, but I actually walk the shared path regularly, and I walk along to Midland, and I believe it would be immensely enhance the area immensely along Success Hill, should there be the paved path continued with lighting along it for safety of both pedestrians and cyclists in Success Hill. And of course now we have the Broadway proposal in front of us. What this does is effectively link a bike path to the train station. What we're looking to do is to look at alternative ways of travel other than transport. What we're looking at doing and what we are doing is implementing Your Move in Bassendean. We're asking the residents of this town to look at alternative ways. What will encourage them to actually use alternative forms of transport other than using their vehicles? How do we enhance the town better? What do we need to put in place? Well, see, this cycleway, I think, is a wonderful initiative to actually enhance and a connection. And I know Councillor Wilson was concerned that there was no connection in Whitfield Street. Well, this is a connection directly to a transport hub, to a train station. The issue that has come into play is the fact that it's actually a bus route. Another means of method that gets people from away from using their vehicles as transportation is a bus, and a bus route happens to go down Broadway. Now, what we've heard tonight, Shackleton Street, there was an estimated cost of about $440,000 to do the medium strip planting in Broadway thereabouts. There was the $129,800, $156,500, $156,500 was the three figures we were given tonight for that project. So it's there around that mark. Then what you do, you add this project, which the state government is contributing, $344,000 to the town. You've got a $500,000 proposal in Whitfield Street from the state government. So you're looking upwards of thereabouts the $900,000 mark, the million mark once you include, over the million mark once you include Success Hill Power Station. So I strongly support the town supporting these initiatives to actually looking at alternatives and standing by the rhetoric that this council is very strongly about and implementing alternative forms of transport. And this is solely on government funding, solely on funding coming directly from the state government to benefit the residents of this town and future-proofing this town when we look at that area undoubtedly in the future for higher density. And there's already the provision there and linking the street with a bike path into the train station.
Thank you. Councillor Gandil. Okay, speaker against. Speaker for. Councillor Hampton, would you like to close?
Firstly, I would like to thank my fellow councillors for all endeavouring to get the very best that we can out of this for our residents. I think every single one of us have and do want to get the very best outcome. So that's quite obvious. Despite our differences, it's very obvious that we want to get a good outcome. It's unfortunate that we don't have a perfect outcome due to timelines and various other things. However, as explained to us tonight, taking this, if we like, as stage one, it does not preclude us in the future or some future council in the future to look at additional alterations or amendments or changes to the road, to Broadway. What it does do, it starts us off. It gets the ball rolling. And I believe that substantially, a lot of this planning seems to be reasonable, and I have endeavoured to cover any potential problems as much as possible in my motion. But I do believe that this plan is reasonable, and it provides, at the very minimum, a great deal of station upgrade around that intersection, and it does provide lanes for bike travel to and from the station. This must be at least a good beginning. And what we build on that in the future really comes back to us as councillors. So I ask you all to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Okay, so all those in favour, it's Councillor Gandil, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton, Brown and McLennan, and against, Councillor Wilson, so that is carried. Thank you, everyone. And I'd just like to point out we're now moving to item 10.4, which is in relation to the call of notices of motion for the National General Assembly. And you'll note that one of the suggestions is that we advocate for there to be better communication between the state government and local government so that we can avoid these situations in future where we have a state government agenda and a local government agenda colliding somewhat, and to have those conversations a lot earlier so that we can try and come up with projects that more fully align with local objectives as well. So 10.4, are there any questions for the staff on this item? Councillor Quinton?
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked this earlier. I did want to ask if there might be potential to give our preferred topic a bit of a test run through the East Metro Wagga process, and if we might do that at the council level, move it up through the East Metro zone, and then also start some discussions with people around the country about this and start lobbying for this. The only reason I ask that is because I do note the disaster that's happening in Melbourne at the moment, where they're having to truck all their waste into landfill. And I heard a woman on the radio the other day talking about the very fact that we need to be reducing our waste as one of our priorities. So I'm just wondering, is that something that we should, as a council, consider on the road to the National Assembly?
So that would require us amending the...
I think timing is probably the challenge, and I'm not quite sure of the dates for the EMRC Council
The Wagga
team?
Wagga, East Wagga. Metro Zone.
Yeah. March? 21st, so...
So I don't think that they've closed nominations for that yet.
So this paper is due in
the
29th of March.
So there would so if the Wagga is on the 21st and the closing date for this is the 29th, there would potentially be time to.
Right. Do we need to amend that then? To
why can't we just do both?
Yeah, I think she's just adding it in as a resolution.
Oh, I see. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Is that correct, Councillor Hamilton?
That's right.
Quinton, sorry. Councillor Hamilton, did you have a question?
I actually did draft up an amendment to that motion, which is, I believe, the first motion was as what the CEO proposed, but the second one is somewhat similar, I think, to the vein that you're following, in that we should be trying to lobby federal government to reduce packaging, and so that is the gist of what I've put forward, and so I'm just flagging that with everybody.
Councillor Gadgil?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I've actually got a question for Councillor Hamilton's alternative, if that's all right. I'm just wondering in what reference, just when you talk about minimalisation laws or taxes to drive overall reduction in volumes of waste and recycling material, what taxes who are you looking to tax?
Okay, well, ultimately in the end, that's not a decision for us to make. All that this is asking is for the General Assembly to lobby federal government to come up with strategies to actually minimise packaging. Now, I thought very hard about this after the meeting. So it we did talk about...
So if I clarify, yep. Councillor Hamilton, I don't have an issue. I quite support what you're proposing. My only concern is that when you put all taxes, state governments tend to find it very easy just to increase, for example, the waste levy charges, which then impacts greatly on rates and the community impact.
I take your point, and I'm happy to delete the taxes part of that.
Thank you.
Okay, so do you mind reading out your amendments so everyone's familiar with what's being proposed?
So item 10.4, that Council 1 requests the administration to prepare a paper addressing government collaboration in achieving community vision and 2, request the administration to prepare a second paper in a simple format that calls for the National General Assembly to lobby federal government to investigate and ultimately implement packaging minimisation laws to drive overall reduction in the volumes of waste and recycling material, and 3, items 1 and 2 be presented for consideration at the National General Assembly to be held in Canberra in June 2019.
And then Councillor Quinton was suggesting is Metro Welga.
Yeah, and I've just searched my emails. The deadline for submissions is the 4th of March.
Okay, but we need to take into consideration that the staff need to prepare them between now and the 4th of March and also run them by us. So that's not really
I think with Welga we could potentially get a bit of lenience in just notifying them that we intend to place something on the agenda, and that because the agendas don't go out on the 4th of March, they will provide the actual documentation prior to them getting their agenda ready.
So would you be happy if we put it, prepares a paper, blah, 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 and for East Metro Welga, if time permits or something like that.
But the submission be made to the next East Metro, East...
Welga.
Because we can present it to Welga prior to this national forum, but after we've actually submitted it to them. So, we can have some discussion in WA prior to it going to the national. It doesn't have to be one and then the other.
Well, yeah, the next Welga after March is May, so you've still got time.
Oh, okay, well, then we do it for the May meeting.
Yep.
Okay, you're comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any further questions? So is everyone clear on what the current
what's
resolution
the final
is?
Wording?
So, point 3, items 1 and 2 be presented for consideration at the East Metro Welga meeting in May prior to consideration at the National General Assembly to be held in Canberra in June 2019. Is that how you wanting to
read
it?
Sorry, Peter and I were just discussing something I missed what you said. Do you mind reading that last one out again?
So if... Point 3 reads, items 1 and 2 be presented for consideration at the East Metro Welga meeting in May prior to consideration at the National General Assembly to be held in Canberra in June 2019.
Are you comfortable with that, Councillor Hamilton?
Thanks, Kathy.
The CEO's just suggested in point 2 that potentially instead of having laws, and we crossed out annual taxes, replacing that whole phrase with reforms, so packaging minimisation reforms.
Yes. Yes, that's actually better.
Okay, so we've got a mover for that motion with Councillor Hamilton. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton? Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Thank you. So 10.5 now is the waste local law. Questions for the staff? Oh, sorry, before we do that, I'm just, as presiding... person, I just need to read out the purpose and effect of this law. So the proposed law, the purpose of this local law is to provide for the regulation, control and management of waste and recycling collection services within the town. And the effect of this local law is for the efficient and orderly separation and removal of general recycling and organics waste, FOGO, from households in the town to minimise the impact on landfill and make the best use of these materials. Are there questions?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just, I did note an email I think was sent out today in relation to a decision that had been made, I don't know what they call them these days, the waste to energy, that's the correct terminology.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if that has any impact on our waste laws. No?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Okay, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton. Seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 10.6 is another proposed law, animals, environment, nuisance and pests local law. So again, the purpose and effect. The purpose of this proposed local law is to provide for the regulation, control and management of animals, pests, nuisances and the prevention of environmental damage within the district. And the effect of this local law is to establish the requirements with which any person keeping animals or whose premises is the source of pests or is undertaking activities that have the potential to have an impact on the environment or create a nuisance must comply. Are there questions? No. Do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Gangell. Is there anyone against? Councillor Wilson, Councillor Quinton, would you like to open debate?
I think we're at the very beginning of having a discussion about this, and I understand that there are a lot of people who don't just keep pets, such as chooks, for commercial or any other purposes. So this is going to raise a lot of issues for a lot of people who I understand even name their chooks, let them sleep in their houses and things like that. I don't have chooks, but I think it's great. One of the things that I did raise was the requirement to reduce the chooks from 20 to 12, and I would support us just going out with what is being proposed at the moment, so that those discussions can be had at a community level, so that we can have a proper community consultation on the law suggestion as it stands, and that all of that be collated and debated when it comes back for consideration in 6 weeks' time.
Thank you, Councillor Quinton. Councillor Gangell.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm not too sure what the objections are to this item. I'm going along the lines of the concerns that were raised at last week's briefing session, which, to my understanding, we were looking to get resolved prior to tonight's meeting. So I'm not able to really comment, as I'm not too sure what still the outstanding objections are in relation to the item. I know the issue that was raised last week was discussed, and that it would largely be within the town, a scheme that would be grandfathered, and education would be put in place first and foremost prior to any, and I raise this, prior to any issuing of fines and the like. So I do understand that there's going to be a strong, or there's an intent to be a strong education program run with for the residents and within the town in relation to changes which would potentially impact residents. So outside of that, I don't have too much more to comment on. Thank you.
Before you speak, Councillor Wilson, Councillor Gangell, just to bring your attention to page 22 of the agenda, so the officers responded to some of the queries or some of the questions that were raised during the briefing, particularly around the chickens. And so the officers have attempted to address those concerns, but as I'm sure Councillor Wilson will elaborate on now, obviously that's not fully to his satisfaction at this point. So Councillor Wilson, would you like to speak?
Well, thank you, Your Worship. And I apologise to Councillor Quinton and Councillor Gangell for having to get up and speak in favour of what would otherwise be a procedural motion. But unfortunately, the standing orders are such that the only way that I can speak to an item is to oppose it, and I intend to vote for it.
You are forgiven.
Use the balance use the balance of my time to elaborate some of the issues. I'm happy for the staff-drafted local law to go out to community consultation as it is, but want to flag very clearly that there are significant changes that I would like to make, and that I think, as Councillor Quinton mentioned, the appropriate way to do that is through broad community consultation rather than for us to try and fix it here at the table. But some of the issues that I would like to canvass more broadly relate to block size. Now, the way that our chook laws are written at the moment, it is impossible for anyone to comply with them unless they have a quarter acre block and larger with a very small house on that. Given the distances away from the house that the chook pen has to be in, given the distances away from the fence that the chook pen has to be. The simple fact of the matter is that otherwise good and decent and law-abiding people in our town are in breach of our current chook laws, and when the law is silly, the law needs to be changed. So what I intend to do through this process is to propose amendments, suggestions that I hope get the support of my fellow councillors that reflect the size constraints that people live with today and the block sizes that people have today, to ensure that we look after animal welfare first and foremost, but that we also encourage people to have chooks because it's a good way of getting rid of green waste. And I think we can come up with a set of rules that make us the most, I'm getting emotional thinking about, the most chicken-friendly local government in Australia, and I think that's a goal we should all aspire to.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Quinton, do you feel the need to speak again? Okay. So put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 10.9, the proposed review of local planning policy number 4, the floodplain management and development policy. Any questions? Sorry, Councillor Hamilton.
There was only one minor amendment where the officer's recommendation should start with the word that.
Okay. So Councillor Hamilton's just flagging that the officer's recommendation means that at the beginning. Okay. Are there any questions, Councillor
Gangel? Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to just get an undertaking there. I note that there's still some appeal processes being undertaken, and prior to it coming back to Council for any determination, we will wait to see the results of those appeal processes.
Mr. Butler, did you want to speak to that?
Thank you. Through the Chair. At this point in time, the timing of those appeal processes is unknown. Some of those applications have been on the go for 2 years or thereabouts. So it is quite possible that, given some changes that the Department of Water and Environmental Regulation have flagged, that those things may fall away as a result of adjustments to the floodplain and the floodway and the flood fringe. So hopefully they can be resolved before we report back to the
Sorry.
Councillor Brown, and then back to you, Councillor Gannon.
Thank you. What I think is happening here, the dynamics of it, is that the people they're appealing to are waiting for some guidance from the town, considering the new flood profile. And I'll just restate that development has been going on in this area since before all of us were born. The family homes down there, and these family homes when they bought them were classified, their R rating was classified so they could put in sensible subdivision and build sensible flood compliant dwellings. So make no mistake about it, development, home development, not by developers, has been taken place down there before all of us were born.
Is there a question coming?
The question is, no, that's about as far as we've got, apart from the fact that I think they're waiting for guidance from the TA.
Yeah,
just
a
statement.
Thank you, Councillor Gannon.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Councillor Brown, because that actually helps me out knowing that information. Then could I just ask, normally it's got within the report, and my apologies if I've missed it somewhere, it's normally got a timing of when the consultation will be undertaken. The only thing I can see is that.
So, Councillor Gangel,
yes.
I think at this point, staff
yes.
are seeking, sort of permission for them to start reviewing it, and then they'll bring it back to us, and then the consultation will happen. Is that correct? So, we're not at the point yet of having something to go out for consultation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then, can I just ask then, roughly, very odd doing it this way, but anyway, roughly expect a time frame of actually getting. I've never seen it.
It is an unusual way of doing it.
Yes. I've never seen the staff asking, can we draft something before we draft it? So can I just ask the anticipated time frame with that? Thank you.
Mr. Butler, I think that's yours.
Thank you, through the Chair. Likely to be April Council meeting.
Thank you.
Hopefully.
Okay, thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, so if we've got a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Brown. Anyone against? All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. 10.10, the community group funding request from Eden Hill Community Action Network. Questions? We have a mover for the motion, Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Brown. Anyone against? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 10.12, this appointment of community members for the working group. So note that we were emailed an updated recommendation, which essentially has point 3 from the original recommendation removed. Now, Councillor Quinton, you and I discussed this earlier. I believe there was a change to point 1 that you were wanting considered.
No, it was only the removal of the point that's already been removed.
No, so we spoke about adding on to point 1 and invites all community members who expressed interest to participate. She's looking at me very
much. I read that in the I read it in the report that there would be
no 0.5. That's why I was getting confused when you came in, Councillor Clinton, because it says makes them informed of council's decision, but it doesn't say what our decision actually is.
The decision is to do the asset-based community mapping exercise.
And invite them, though, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
Invite all the nominees. It doesn't actually say that in the resolution.
Oh, so
sure.
The town invites.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's written in the report, that's why.
Okay, so what I was suggesting then is in point one of the updated recommendation to add in at the end after it says response to suicide prevention and invites all community members who've expressed interest to participate. So they're participating in the initial asset mapping process.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Are there questions on this item? Do we have a mover with the amendment? So Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, going, Amy, you're all okay?
Yes, thank you.
10.13, the draft policy for the CEO and performance review. So you remember that at the briefing session there was discussion around the number of councillors on the committee. And so the staff have given us two options now. One is the original recommendation of three councillors, and then the alternative is that all councillors be included.
I'm happy to move the alternative that all councils be included.
Okay, do we have a seconder? Councillor Hamilton? Anyone against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. 10.14 is the quarterly report. Councillor Hamilton, was it you that asked for that to come out on block?
Yep. On the last page of the attachments.
Give us a second.
Attachment 12, isn't it?
12, yeah.
Oh no, attachment 11.
No, 12.
Sorry?
12.
Have I got the wrong one? It's 12.
12, yeah.
Okay, hang on a minute.
Quarterly report.
I have questions if you want to get yourself together.
Yes.
I do just wanted to get, we have a bit of an update under 1.2.1, nature-based playground and sandy beach. We have an update for Mary Crescent, but we don't have an update for Sandy Beach. What has been the progress since October at least?
Thank you, Mr. Haggart.
Thank you for the question. I spoke with the designer last week, and he assures me that an exciting concept design will be presented to the town next week. So either by the end of February or in the first week of March, he will be making a presentation to officers of a concept design.
So can I ask what the process will be beyond that presentation to officers?
We will certainly need to bring it to council. We would need to take it for public comment beyond that. So that would be the approach. I'm happy to look at extra links in the chain if we consider it appropriate.
Councillor Hamilton, sorry. Councillor Hamilton, and then back to Councillor Quinton.
Apologies. I actually missed something on the previous item, which is attachment 11. The last page, the dates are incorrect.
So this is for the draft policy? Or?
Yes, so on attachment 11, the last page, I believe that the date for review is actually incorrect, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention because it's supposed to be 3 years.
Oh, okay, for the policy itself. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Sorry, I it completely passed me.
Thank you. So, Councillor Quinton, back to you.
Yes, thank you. I have lost the point again now, but let me just quickly find it. It is under staff health and wellbeing.
Which one is that?
Oh, sorry.
That's right.
The question is general. It really is. It's listed a whole bunch of great things that are available to staff in terms of their professional development and wellbeing, and I wondered if mental health first aid training had been considered as part of that for staff, please.
So it's on page 3 of the
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, through Chair. Yes, it has. We're going to be looking at that in the very near future. It's something that we have recently identified as quite an important training that we think staff would gain a lot of value and benefit from. So we're just looking at identifying those some key officers who we think would initially benefit and then rolling that out possibly throughout the whole organisation. So we've just been, there was actually a discussion Peter and I had quite recently. So
great. We're going to be looking That's at that great in the future. To hear.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd love to get an update on that when that starts happening. One more question is about LED lighting. We're about 12 months down the track now from when I think we first started talking about a schedule for rolling out LED lighting and approaching and lobbying Western Power. And my understanding is that the new products are ready to be rolled out mid-year. And that other councils might have already started putting orders in for that. So I just wanted to know, would we be able to get an update from Western Power about that program and how we can start putting our orders in if we're going to do that?
Yeah. Council actually has funding allocated in this year's budget to upgrade the lighting 200 metres around the train stations. And so we have undertaken some designs. We've engaged Sage Consulting to complete some designs for us. Those designs have been submitted to Western Power, and we're just waiting on a quote back from Western Power, and along with their timeframes about when, you know, if we accept the quote, obviously, when the works can actually commence. So that is to provide LED lighting within that 200 metre distance. Using the Western Power lights under the procurement plan.
Yeah, thank you. That's for this, that specific project. I was just talking more generally about...
More generally? Yeah. The council doesn't have any immediate program to alter the balance of our streetlights within the town of Bassendean.
Right. Maybe we should get on to that. Okay, thank you.
So I think that was one of the projects listed under the draft carbon emissions plan, is that correct?
Yes.
So, you know, we've sort of flagged that as a project that we might need to modify to make it a bit more of an overarching feature for the town.
Yeah.
But we've also discussed that there are some projects under that we'd like to progress, so maybe it's something that we can discuss
Would we be able to have an update from Western Power about that? Because it's my understanding that other councils have started to put orders in.
Yes, okay. And the other thing, you might recall that when we looked at the lighting around the train station, that it wasn't just a matter of, you know, taking out the existing luminaires and putting LED lights, because it was because of the spread of the light. We needed to actually add additional light poles. So it's not just a light for light. It's actually a quite a large administrative
project. I guess so. There are two things at play there. One is the amount of light that we're providing,
yes,
and the other is the energy efficiency.
Yes.
I did notice in our list that we spent a few hundred dollars fixing a light. Would we be able to clarify with Western Power if they would replace a broken light, because they do replace lights that have finished their life,
yes,
whatever you call that. If they would also replace broken lights,
at a cost, yes, they would.
Yeah.
If we paid for that changeover.
Yeah. So if we're finding that people are smashing lights, would that not be a good opportunity to upgrade it to an LED at that point?
We'd probably need to provide you with a report so that we can.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine.
I have a couple of points. On page 2 of the attachments, point D, it's got defined KPIs together with the alignment to the corporate business plan. New KPIs are to be established. Can I just ask, is that for all staff or just executives? Or I'm familiar with that. So
I understand this year there's a mini review of the corporate business plan, so that can certainly be undertaken as part of our budget process going into next year. But I suspect the real step change will come after our visioning exercise, and come September I think we'll have a really strong vision for the town, and that would be a good opportunity to revisit our community strategic plan and be clear about our outcomes and success measures as part of that process. At the moment, we have a corporate business plan that has KPIs. So we continue to report on those till the end of the financial year.
That's fine. I just wanted some clarity around what the KPIs were actually for. On page four, now I am aware that this is only for the last quarter, finished in December, but in the recruitment section, I don't see position there for the urban forest arborist person. So I just wanted to seek clarity that was actually part and parcel of the...
being progressed?
Yes.
So I think because this finished in December.
December, yep.
But certainly that's a position that's being examined and will be featured as part of the...
Yes, exactly. So, yes, since we've finalised this, we actually have a draft position description which we're looking at finalising and we'll be providing to the CEO for consideration.
No, that's fine. I assumed it was because this report finished in December. Page 14 at the top, I note there's a short description there about public building inspections. So that sparked my curiosity about whether we also do inspections of privately owned commercial buildings in the same manner in which we do those public building inspections.
Thank you, through the chair. No, we don't. They are public building inspections, not private building inspections.
Okay. Page 20, down the bottom right-hand corner, we've got officers met with Water Corporation to discuss developing concept for the compensation basin, which I assume is the drain that's next door to the position for the men's shed. So my question there is, somewhere else in these documents there is mentioned about men's shed, if those two projects are collaborating in any way to get the best results. Okay.
Sorry, I was a little bit confused just for that because you mentioned that it's bottom of page.
So page 20. Page
20.
Yeah, it's the bit that refers to having discussions with Water Corp about the compensating basin next to the site we've already mentioned. And as you will remember, Councillor Hampton's brought this up on a number of occasions trying to achieve the best outcome in that co-location.
So the meeting we had with them last year, they came back and advised us they were going to engage a surveyor to do some site survey, a feature survey of the property area. We haven't had any further feedback from them in regards to that, so I can't give you a further update.
I guess what I'm asking is that is there collaboration between the two projects, i.e. the men's shed and this one for the Water Corporation drain, because obviously the properties are adjoining.
Yes.
And if you want to get the best outcome, yes, then one would assume that collaboration would be the best way to go about that.
Yes, exactly. It's basically an inter-department working group that's looking at the specifications, so that's currently being undertaken.
So I guess Councillor Hampton's flagging that in the discussions we want to make sure that we're considering both.
Yes. Yeah. At this stage, they haven't come back into the feature.
Thank you. Are there further questions, Councillor Hamilton? Sorry, was that a yes or a no?
No, sorry.
No, that's all right. Okay, so if there's no further questions, we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Quinton, seconded. Councillor McLennan, anyone against? All those in favour? It's passed unanimously. 10.17 is the Water and Governance Committee meeting. Any questions? Okay, we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Brown, seconder. Councillor McLennan. All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. 10.18, the Town Assets Committee. Now you flagged you have an amendment to propose, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship, I did. So for the benefit of those watching at home,
This wouldn't be an amendment to the motion that was printed for the and uploaded onto the webpage previous to this meeting. This is an amendment to the motion that was circulated on our desks prior to the meeting. I propose to amend item one of the motion. It currently reads, Council revokes the adopted Street Tree Master Plan to enable staff to enact Council Resolution OCM 131209. The discussion that we had at the Town Assets Committee was that Council revokes so much of that motion as is necessary to revoke the Street Tree Master Plan. So the purpose of that is to say we're removing the Street Tree Master Plan, not that we want to enable staff to enact a motion that is a decade old.
So what are you proposing the wording be changed to?
One, Council revokes so much of OCM 1-3 /12/09 as is necessary to revoke the entirety of the Street Tree Master Plan. Colon.
It's point but one for your interest of that motion.
Yes.
Okay. Have you got that, Amy?
Yes.
Yep.
Could you please read it back to Sol?
So point one is now reading that Council revokes so much of OCM 1-3/12/09 as necessary to revoke the entirety of the Street Tree Master Plan.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, are there any questions? Councillor Gadget.
Yes, sorry, this is one that I'm just wondering, I'm very confused where everything's at now. So where is the review of the Street Tree Master Plan that's been going on? It feels like it's been going on for 5 years, no doubt it's probably 8 years, but whereabouts is the review at?
Take it to point five of the motion.
So there's been a bit of a change in direction, Councillor Gangell. It's largely come through the Town Assets Committee.
Yeah, so what I'm just wanting to get an understanding is the processes that the council has undertaken, because there was a review that was set up to be undertaken, then a committee was formed,
Urban Forest,
well, Liverpool Towns, or whatever it was, yep. Yeah, that's right, through that a working group, so this review was being undertaken. I'm assuming consultants were then engaged at some point as well. Just wanting to know whereabouts we're at with it.
Yeah, look, Council, as you know, as you've indicated, they received a draft urban forest strategy for the purpose of consultation and then referred that to a working group. The working group then reviewed that document.
Yes, sorry, Mr. Stuart Dawkins. Just years, if you could help me out. Just ballpark years.
There has been no review of the Street Tree Master Plan.
So I guess, Councillor Gangell, this is one of the reasons why the Town Assets Committee has decided that to move forward with the current direction of Council, the Street Tree Master Plan is actually an obstacle at this point in time, because that's what's guiding the staff's tree planting, and it's not in alignment with the resolution that we passed late last year about aiming for 70% coverage and the kinds of trees we wanted. So in order to remove that obstacle, it was determined necessary for the Street Tree Master Plan to be revoked. Does
okay.
that answer your question?
Yeah, somewhat. I'm just gonna, this is my own personal view here, but one thing I know under the Street Tree Master Plan was we were looking at potentially avenues of trees, which I personally favour.
So can I just clarify on that?
Yes.
Part of that resolution,
yes.
Which is the OCM 15618, is
yes.
for existing avenues to be
yes.
maintained. So the main sort of streets which have got, you know, like Broadway, Jacarandas and so
yes.
on, the intention
mm-hmm.
is to maintain that avenue feel, which I know you love.
I do love that feel. My concern obviously is that you'll get this mishmash of different plantings happening in streets. So I'm just wanting to know where we're going potentially there. How are we going to determine what species goes where
And will there be some uniformity to it?
So the resolution that the council passed back last year was that there would be a variety of trees that would be selected that were suitable for particular streets, and there would be choice given to the residents of that street about which ones they would prefer in front of their homes.
Okay, that, there we go, thank you very much. That is what I'm getting at. So just so I understand.
That resolution
yes,
been
thank
passed.
You. Yeah, no. So just so I understand where we're at with the current process. So the street tree master plan after tonight will be obsolete. So no longer a usable and required document. So then we were looking at appointing. Were we not looking at appointing an arborist?
Urban Forest Officer,
yes.
Is what Councillor Hamilton was referring to previously when she was questioning.
Oh, I must have been out of the room
at
that stage.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Would you like to speak to that? Yeah. Simon, would you prefer to speak to that in terms of...
About the arborist?
The Urban Forest Officer.
All I can say is that we've prepared a draft PD, and that's yet to be just provided to the CEO for her review, and then that would be considered as part of any future.
So Councillor Gander, that
yes.
was originally in the workforce plan for the coming financial year, and you might remember at budget time Councillor Hamilton suggested that we move it forward with the hope of that person being appointed prior to this winter planting season. So that's where the staff are at the moment in terms of searching for somebody to fulfil that role.
Yes, I just have a love and affiliation for trees. I've got so many questions. just with that then, are we not then doubling up? Because I'm just not sure, like, what would the arborist and how much would that cost for them to go street by street to advise us on which trees are suitable in which street? Should that not be something that we wait until the urban forest plan is in place?
The direction that the Assets Committee has provided to the town is that they wish for officers to seek quotes, which we're currently doing, to engage an arborist to look, go out to different nurseries to see what stock is available, because Council's resolved they wish to plant approximately 600 trees this financial year, or this year, should I say, this winter planting season. And so we're going to see what trees are available in the nurseries that meet the Australian standards for landscaping stock, and then we'll, once we know what those trees are, then we will look at a planting program in the underground power areas of Edenville and Ashfield.
So can I just clarify, Councillor Gander, 2 points?
Mm-hmm.
We already have an understanding of what soil types are in which streets, so it won't be as specific as going through like the current street tree plan where you've got a particular tree for each street. It's more like this area is sand, these are the trees that are suitable. And in terms of the doubling up, we need to purchase stock for this winter planting season now. We should have ideally done it even earlier. Because we don't have that person on board yet, the thought was that we engage someone with specialist skills in this now, so that they can procure good quality stock for us and we don't get dregs, so that we have good plants to put in the ground this winter, when hopefully we'll have the Urban Forest Officer on board.
Okay, thank you. I'm still a little bit unsure with funding wise. Request an arborist be engaged to procure the best stock available to meet requirements of the OCM within the budget available for the 2019 planting season. So when it says within the budget available, does that include the budget? So to pay for the arborist, would that be coming out of the budget that's been allocated for the payment of trees, purchasing of trees? And if not, where would that funding come from, and how much funding are we looking at?
Yes, there is a council have made an allocation within the street tree area, so for engaging consultants, and so this is where that fee would come from.
Thank you.
It doesn't come out of the tree budget.
Oh no, that's fine. But how much roughly do we have an indication how much we're looking at through
the? No, the actual brief has just gone out this week to seek quotes, so we haven't received that back at this stage.
Okay, thank you.
Are there further questions from other councillors? Okay then, so we've got an amended motion that's been moved by yourself, Councillor Wilson?
Yes.
And seconded by myself, Councillor McLennan. Anybody against? Councillor Hamilton.
Oh, sorry, we're against just the amendment or the whole motion?
Well, we're putting the motion with the amendment.
Yes, I'm against.
You're against. Okay, Councillor Wilson, would you like to speak?
As has been fleshed out already in some of the questions and answers that has been given, there was extensive discussion at the Town Assets Committee about how we would achieve two goals. The first one being getting our winter planting done for this year, being the short-term goal, and then the long-term goal being getting a long-term tree planting program in place. We recognise that in order to get trees in the ground this winter, we would have to do something slightly different, which is to find someone who is familiar with the commercial nurseries, who is familiar with what good stock is, who knows how to pull a tree out of a pot and identify whether it is root bound or not, who knows which trees are going to thrive and growing to be large specimens and which ones are not, expertise which we currently do not have within our town staff. So in order to get a good winter planting program going, the committee decided that it would recommend to council that we engage someone to go out and purchase those trees while in the meantime we work on what our long-term strategy is to meet our long-term goal of turning our town into an urban forest with extensive canopy. In order to meet the goals that we set for ourselves in the resolution we passed in the June meeting last year, which is to achieve significant tree canopy, it was clear that we had to revoke the existing street tree master plan because it requires staff to do many things, all of which are contrary to achieving significant canopy. Most of the tree species that are listed in the current street tree master plan are small and ornamental and provide no shade whatsoever to even the verges that they're on, let alone roads, let alone footpaths. I recommend that everyone support this motion so that we can ensure that we get the best available stock and that we can plant the best available stock in those areas of our town, such as Ashfield and the western part of Eden Hill, which are not compromised by power lines, and so that we can share the story with our community about what becomes possible when you don't have power lines in the way, and so we can demonstrate that if you cover your streets with shade, that your community gets cooler, that your power bills go down, that your air conditioning costs go down, and that your property prices go up, and that this is something that we should embrace.
Thank you. I'll be really brief. I think it's really clear that this is a really high priority for council, considering that we've allocated money for three times as many trees this year as have been planted previously. We've allocated money for an urban forest officer. We've allocated money for a watering truck. Yet, despite that focus being really clear, we've hit obstacle after obstacle. And we find ourselves in February and we haven't got trees purchased yet. We don't have time at this point to employ someone to purchase those trees for us. If we want to get trees in the ground this winter, we need to outsource that so that we can get good quality stock, and what we put in the ground this year is going to grow and thrive and become healthy, mature specimens. I think it would be ideal if we had our long-term tree planting program nutted out, but we don't have the luxury of time at this point. Councillor Gadge, you're trying to ask me a question, but no. Can it wait? I completely lost my train of thought now.
Why we need to hire someone because...
We've got to do it now.
Yeah, we've got to do it now is basically the answer, yeah. We're going to miss the opportunity to get good plants in the ground this year. And as you all know, we've been looking at our priority projects, we've been scoping them up, and we've identified for this year, the priority is getting this year's tree planting done well, and then a project for beyond this winter planting season is going to be the opportunity to get our long-term plan sorted out. Councillor Hamilton, I'm really interested to know what it is that you're... So just before you speak, Councillor Gangell.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to just ask, it just struck my memory from an email response that came through today, just in relation to, I saw a question that asked why particular
areas hadn't been planted. The response that came back was that the residents of those properties declined to have a tree. Is that going to be a no option from now on, or are people still going to be able to decline having a tree on the verge?
It's been an issue hotly debated within the asset committee as to how that would be managed. As it currently stands, we would be advising everybody, residents, that trees are going to be planted, and that they could, and if they wish to opt out, well, then they can opt out. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the position I understood.
Okay,
so, Councillor Gangell, I guess the key thing is that the communication and the engagement is going to be really key. So instead of just sending people out a letter saying, do you want a tree or not, that we're going to have a lot stronger focus on helping people understand the benefits, so that when we do go to people and say, which of these trees would you like, that the staff member who will then be on board can have those conversations. And at that point, if people are still opposed, then...
Yes, so but it actually try and create avenues and the like within streets. It makes it very, very difficult if you have five people in a street saying no.
It
but anyway, that's not really a question, so my apologies.
Councillor Hamilton.
They just killed them.
Firstly, I'd like to thank the Mayor for articulating many of my thoughts about this process. I am on the Assets Committee, and I did vote in favour of the assets motion, and I actually substantially believe that I support that. However, perhaps call this a protest vote. I am unhappy with the results that forced me to vote for things that it was unnecessary. There have been some issues in this process which I feel have led us to a path where we are compelled to go to a consultant in the short term instead of building up our internal workforce with skill sets to lead us in a direction in the future which would be advantageous to the organisation. We are now in a situation we are more or less responding to a fire sale situation where we have to get somebody in to go and select the stock in an urgent manner. This is not ideal. And so I am standing here to indicate that I do not find this process to be what I would have hoped. But having said that, I will support this motion.
Because we want those trees in the ground.
Yes.
Are there any other speakers? Councillor Gadgel.
Ah, thank you, Your Worship. I'm actually going to be speaking in favour of the recommendation, although I am greatly concerned that we are still going along the path of an optional tree on the verge. I do believe the option should no longer be there. That people shouldn't be able to choose whether or not a tree would or would not be placed on their verges. The benefits outweigh the negatives. I think it's very easy to promote that to residents of the town. You look at an investment point of view, a property value point of view, hands down, both of these arguments win categorically. When you're looking at a staggered market that we currently have, and an investment and a strong investment in streetscape is worth every single cent of investment, and I think to really get an outcome of an urban forest, we do need as many streets as absolutely possible planted out with significant trees. My property has at the front of it two beautiful peppermint trees, massive peppermint trees. They're fantastic. And those sort of trees, tree-lined avenues, as I like to refer them, I think will be a great enhancement. I am very happy that we can now get underway with trying to make the avenues. For many years, the street tree master plan has... I suppose, gone back and forth with different arguments about its validity and how useful and appropriate that it is. But I think now that that is now obsolete, hopefully we can get underway with planting the town out with trees, creating very vibrant avenues of trees and increasing people's property values and the appeal of the town wholeheartedly across the entirety of the town. And hopefully we'll look very shortly at abandoning the option of having a tree or not.
So, Councillor Gans, just before Councillor Wilson speaks again, we don't actually have a formal position on that yet as a council, so there will be the opportunity to discuss that at some stage. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just in closing, I share the frustrations that Councillor Hamilton expressed about trying to advance what on the surface is a fairly simple idea, which is to put lots of trees in the ground, but when you try and operationalise that within a shifting landscape, that becomes, as Her Worship the Mayor mentioned, a path full of many obstacles. I think this motion sees us through to at least this winter planting and buys us some time to get the right in-house capabilities so that we can have the capacity within our staff to turn our town into an urban forest. Just on the issue of to force people to have a tree or not to have a tree, that being a question that Her Worship the Mayor says we have not yet resolved as a council, that is true. But I like to tell the parable of the three trees of Whitfield Street, all side by side. And I will avoid mentioning the numbers because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but tree one is clearly wanted and is loved and is cared and maintained for by the person who lives there. It is watered and mulched, and it is now the same height that I am, even though it was planted last winter. Tree number two has what could charitably be described as benign neglect. It sits on an austere lawn. I don't think it's ever been watered by the owner in its life, and it comes up to my waist. And tree number three that was next door to it met an unfortunate and untimely end. Nobody could say for certain what happened to it. However, the owner of the deceased tree was not keen to have another replacement tree. We can only speculate what happened to it. But several months later, and after much staff time, that tree was finally removed and will go back to lawn. If we give trees to people who do not want them, and not that I'm suggesting this is what happened in Whitfield Street, but it is possible elsewhere, if people do not want those trees and they go and pour a kettle of boiling water on them and murder them, then that's a waste of everyone's...
Yes, we'll put a huge billboard in front of their verge.
That's right, that's a waste of everyone's time and effort. For my personal view, I think we find the best trees we can and we match those trees up with people who love them. That, pardon the metaphor, is the low-hanging fruit, is that we match people who want trees up with the best trees available until all of those trees are gone, and then we can start engaging conversations with the people who might otherwise pour a kettle of boiling water on them. And that will be a good problem to have because it means the rest of the town is planted.
Look at that. Tonight I'm more than you.
Thank you. Okay. Is anyone against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 1020, the financial statements.
Yes, I'd have a couple of questions. On page 18, only because this pertains to the previous motion item about town assets, where is it listed there, the tree preserve?
As in the one that we requested at the last budget?
Good Chair, that's not listed. When we actually adopted the budget last July, it was a reserve fund adopted by Council. We need to create it. We have actually created it, but we don't have any funds in there at the moment. But we are aware that it needs to be created.
So it's
not actually listed in the statement.
Right.
The council did resolve to create a reserve fund.
So that will have, at the end of the financial year, any funds that are currently allocated for trees that are surplus will go into that account. But
correct.
At the moment, the monies that we've allocated for trees are in the operational budget. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's the same for the bus shelter reserve fund. Council resolved to create a reserve fund. And the income that we're getting from the bus shelters becomes going to be transferred into the reserve fund. Mm. That will happen before the end of July. June.
Lovely. Thank you for that. The other question I had was about the underground power reserve, because that was also discussed at the Town Assets Committee that we were supposed to be putting $50,000 a year into that fund, but I see that $33,000 was taken out of it. And do we know the history about why we didn't keep contributing?
I recall that during the budget process, Council, I think, taking some of that funding out because it was the Ashfield contribution at the end of the underground power project for Ashfield, there was some money left over from the ratepayers. So that money, of course, has to be returned back to the ratepayers in some way. So it was put into that underground reserve account, and the intention is that those funds have been taken out for street tree funding.
In Ashfield.
For Ashfield. Yep.
And sorry, because I wasn't at the Town Assets Committee, would you indulge me by telling me why we stopped putting $50,000 a year in that fund?
I can't really. I mean, there was a council resolution to do that a number of years ago, but I don't recall why.
So it's not a requirement, it was just if we got leftover money.
Through the chair, I'm in the dark, same as Simon, I'm not aware of that particular issue, but I can have a look and get back to you.
Oh, it's not a big deal. If you don't know, it's fine. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Councillor Wilson?
There's page 16, which is the monthly investment report. And there's a breakdown there on our investments in non-fossil fuel lending ADIs. In my time on council, this figure has fluctuated anywhere between 80% and 60%. We're currently sitting at 65%. I'm just wondering if you could explain what measures will be taken to getting it back up towards the 80% in the future.
The current constraints, I guess, are with the A2 investment policy guidelines. We are restricted to 60% of our portfolio. With the number of institutions that fit into that category, the current ones we're investing with, BOQ, IMB and Suncorp, are probably regarded as the majors in A2s. There are a number of other ADIs that we can investigate who fall into that A2 category, so we should come up to the 60%. I guess I'm cognizant of that 60% restriction on the investment policy at the moment. I guess that the Council may want to review that at some stage. That would have to go to the Audit Committee in accordance with the newly adopted guidelines in regards to what the Audit Committee's function is to assess risk and other financial matters. So if that... I know there are a few other councils that have similar policies and who are investing with ADIs that aren't listed at, or we don't actually invest with at the moment. So we would investigate which banks other councils are investing with in view to expanding their portfolio.
Thank you very much.
Councillor
Gangell? Thank you. This one can be taken on notice. I don't think you would know the answer to this, but just when we're talking about finances and getting ready to set another budget, I'm just curious just to see what the rate of people paying their rates in one hit last year was compared to the instalment rate. Because I know we took away a lot of the incentives.
Yep.
So I'm just interested in leading up to see if that impacted in any way.
Compared to previous years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that we did that. I'm just curious just to see if that had any impact.
Yes, through the chair, it did have an impact. I think the number of people that we did have paying up front was around 55%.
Yeah.
That's dropped down to, I think, around 50%. So people are more intending towards to pay for their rates by instalments, even though there's a slight penalty for paying by instalments, but people seem to be moving to that direction. But whether that had an impact as a result of the rates incentive, not too sure. Well, it seems to be a trend.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's trending, it's potentially just the way it's going.
Not just with Bassendean, but other councils are regularly, obviously, cash poor and cash constrained.
Yeah.
I guess with us sending out our rate notices at the same time as the Water Authority, we're sort of competing for people's money, and I suppose people get used to paying by installments. But we have also, observed a number of people who are having trouble paying their rates, so we're getting a lot more requests for installments.
Assistance,
plus,
other
options to pay if money comes available, I suppose. So we've got a difficult position that we've got a number of people whose rates are steadily increasing, and we don't really want to get to that position of taking legal action. We're at that point of trying to do a range of alternatives, and instead of going down to the legal path, obviously that costs the ratepayer more. So if we can come into some alternative arrangement so that they're paying regular, this is the option.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, so do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, seconder. Councillor Wilson, all those in favour? It's carried unanimously. So now we're moving down to confidential business, item 13.1. Can you